Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design is a show that has been created so that you and I can talk. We can talk over coffee. My name is Veronica Entwistle. What's your name? And I really want callers tonight, and I'd like us to talk about relationship. Our relationship, Don and I were just talking about it, our relationship to time, our relationship to the planet, our relationship to our soul's purpose or our own divine purpose, our ways of choosing relationships through the law of attraction, and what are we attracting and why. And so many people are having relationship bumps and grinds and rip-ups and so on these days. And I wanted to talk about that because I think there's a bubbling evolution going on, and a lot of people are being pushed out of the nest where they weren't actually, and they might say they were, but oftentimes I see that they weren't actually bonding to one another on the basis of your actual soul journey or the purification of your true nature, but it was more like a social contract to bond over, you know, just home and family, and not just, but, you know, home and family or jobs or whatever. I think that there's a push going on in the universes to move us, it seems like, to move us up inside of ourselves so that we have the opportunity to grow and change and to become, ideally, I always refer to Peter Calhoun, ideally to become these amazingly powerful beings. Beings of light and truth, beings of expansion, beings who are capable of a multidimensional existence. But that requires letting go of the ways that we hang on to each other for dear life and allowing ourselves to have, if it's going to be a hanging on, it's a hanging on through vibrational reflection of growth and change and unfoldment. So it can't be a stickiness, can it? It can't be a confinement to keep us compatible with one another under those circumstances. Because you know what? Life is changing very, very fast. And I think it's absolutely incredible. When I talk to people younger or older, they're all saying, holy moly. And what Don was saying at the very beginning is he thinks it's just a speed up, because I sort of was laughing and saying, do you think pretty soon our belly buttons are going to be up on our foreheads? And he was laughing and then going, well, I think that we're getting ready to be universal beings, whatever that means to you. I also think that relationship is about our relationship to sound. And I was speaking to Bob, who's our sound guy, and we were talking just before this show, we're talking about, and he said, well, I can't do this and that unless I can be quiet. But I think that in the way that our society is changing and how we're all rushing around and everything's moving so fast and people who are in corporations are finding that they're practically on roller skates like the old root beer servers used to be 100 years ago, just trying to keep up with all the technology and the multifaceted tasks that they have to do, getting there, going home, looking after yourself, making enough money to survive whilst you have to be creative and you have to hop at the changes. Oh my goodness. But there are ways of getting quiet inside when we're racing around on the outside. And we're going to talk about some of those things. Well, let's talk about them. So I want you to call in with your questions, or you can actually send me a text or an email with, well, email's harder for me to get, but send in a question or two, because this is a show that I set up many years ago because I wanted to give you service. I wanted to have interaction with you, and I wanted it to be of a free nature for people so that you didn't always have to spend money to talk about some of your issues. So let me see. I'm going to look around out there. Okay, so we have some callers. You're going to be calling in, and I'm really excited about that. So let's get going on our sacred geometrics. We've been doing a lot of structure work. Oh, and we're talking. Oh, I want to flip back for a sec. we're talking about, I'm going to be doing a class. I have a website that some of you know about. It's called dharmaqueen.net, dharmaqueen.net. And a lot of us are getting, we get our toes stuck in some of the potholes in our drama, don't we? Sometimes we think we're getting out of the drama, and the next thing you know, you're in drama again. And I sort of laugh and go, well, it's like dharma, because you go into your drama, and if you're really clever about it, then if you're really conscious about it, you get to pull out of it links to your own dharma. Like, why this drama? Why did I attract this kind of drama? It's really painful. Let's say I lost a job, or I lost all my money, or I lost my relationship, or I've had three very bad relationships in a row, or blah, blah, blah. This is a time in history where you and I have to cull from our drama what it is that our dharma, which is the nature of your service on the planet, had to refine in order to put it forward. So you can spend your life just doing the drama, or you can dig through the rubble and those pieces and piles and get yourself into, relationships don't work for me over and over again because I'm not touching the essence of my being, the truth of my nature. I'm just staying busy on the external thing of getting the relationship set up. And I get really irritable, and I get whatever it is. I get so that I isolate myself in the middle of relationship. I'm afraid of relationship. All these different things which keep us busy and away from our actual dharma, which, as I said before, is kind of like, why was I born here this time? What is the service? What is the contribution that I or you bring into the collective at this time in history? And seriously, you can use your drama to figure it out. I often tell you, I wrote my story called My Near Life Experience, but for me, who was trying to ignore the fact that I had had a whole bunch of abuse and emotional stuff that I had to sort out so I get married to live happily ever after. Well, I don't live happily ever after because I have all kinds of old feelings and thoughts and all that sort of things. It's like any of the rest of you, isn't it? That are boiling away underneath my happily ever after marriage. And then when he dies, and when he dies, he takes with him anything that I was attached to. So my identity as a married woman, my identity as having a whole bunch of things complete in my life, because now I'm safe because I'm going to be married forever. All of that identity, and this is a really important word for you as well as for me, all the identity got ripped apart. So back to you or back to me. So the process then became a process of going through all these different aspects of myself and what had been lost in order to, I shouldn't say lost, that I wasn't able to remain attached to, or I could not describe myself that way. And we lived a lot of different places by the time my husband died. So I didn't even know where to live, and it certainly wasn't compatible with family of origin at that time. So I had to figure out everything from where I lived, to who I was associating with, why was I associating with them, was it true to me, or was it just true to what I expected life to be when I grew up and lived happily ever after? You know, that whole mythical thing. It's a really big deal, and many of you go through these huge changes in your life, whether it's divorce or widow or loss of a child or having triplets all of a sudden or whatever it is that tears up the fabric of your identity, and you have to begin to find out what is really true for me. So I think that's a really interesting way to look at relationship too, because that relationship story is all about the relationship, in my case, that I had with myself. And in your case, in all of our cases, that's really the crux of it all, isn't it? What is the relationship I'm having with myself? Is it a true relationship? And remember this, I always tell people when they're getting together, you know, your chakras, the second chakra is your belly area. It's everything left over, karma, hamburgers, the whole thing, subconscious, everything is in that part. Your mom's influence, your dad's influence, past lives and so on. And I always say, and that's our sexual center. It's our sexual connection. And when people want a long-term relationship, I just remind them, you can't share what you don't have if you don't have yourself. When you have that kind of intimacy, you actually aren't sharing your real self. And I know a lot of us don't ever do it that way, but I'm saying ideally, isn't that kind of what we're after? Because when you're sharing your real self, there's a real fertilization of both your real selves, don't you think? So let me know. I know that that's true for a lot of people anyway. So let me know what's going on with you. And we'll talk about relationship to sound, to air, to atmosphere, to Mother Earth, to plants, to water. We're in the California drought season. And I gather even in the great Pacific Northwest, there's a big drought going on as well. And we're talking about climate change. And what's our relationship to the universe? That's changing as well. Or even GMOs. That's changing things as well. So let's just take a look at you. Let's take a look at relationship. Now, I know a number of clients who have had relationship breakdowns, and some of them have been really awful. There was a whole series of people who suddenly one of the partners left, walked out the door, and dissembled the business, dissembled the household, dissembled in a shocking way. For a while, I was like going, what is going on? Because I had, I think, five different clients or five different couples that had done that. And everybody's kind of in a state of trauma. So I would like us to go into the sacred structures. And I would like us to do a little bit of healing work on relationship. And I don't quite know how it'll go because, as you know, we always sort of do these as the images come in and we see them as they as they show up. So are you ready? Remember that talk about relationships. We do these structures in a way that can create a coherent field all around, connecting all of us. And remember that our connections radiate way out there. And there are beings of light out there. There are beings of different dimensions out there that can really see when our light is up. You know that, eh? Like as an intuitive, when somebody from the other side, somebody who's through the veil, who is living in a different reality, they can see when our light is up. They can see if you or I can connect with them by the way our lights go. It's really quite something. I remember when I was talking to Lavendar in one of the shows too. I was interviewing Lavendar, who's quite an interesting woman who claims to be half hybrid, half human, ET, half human. And we all know about Judy Carroll, who has a lot of that story as well. But anyway, she was saying, Lavendar was saying that those of us who are star seeds, right? A lot of us are star seeds, and star seeds are beings that were born on this planet in order to activate and to bring up higher frequency energies and to become connecting. It's like little dots of connection all around the world that can help lift, if you think of us all as one, help lift that oneness to a much higher level so it can reach multidimensionality. And the way she was talking, she didn't put it quite like that, but anyway, the way she was talking in my interview a while back was, she was saying that it's interesting that somebody was flying over and saying, oh my gosh, there's an energy source there. And they could see this very, very powerful energy source here, another one over there, and said that those were star seeds. Actually, it turns out that they were light beings, and they were measurably lighter and brighter, sending these amazing lights out there. Now, if you go back into being an intuitive, you can say that those lights attract the beings from other side that from beyond the veil that really want to make communication. And I think that when we're talking about ETs and so on, I think a lot of us really want to make communication with other light beings who are in different realms that can give us some perspective and so on, because we get so cluttered here in 3D. The other thing I did not follow up, I said, how do you get quiet when it's so crazy out there? Well, I think we have to learn inner like mantras. You know, you learn some mantras, and when you start running those mantras inside, you find, and I can do this sometimes because I like to chat and sing and carry on and stuff, but inside, I have a depth, and a lot of you do, I'm sure, where when you run your mantra, you might be doing groceries, you might be doing something else, but you can run your mantra inside and find yourself getting still and calm and still and calm. And yet you're still going very fast and doing a lot of what mundane things out there. There are a lot of ways that we have to learn to adapt to a very crazy world, a world of rapid change. Even the weather is changing so rapidly, we don't know what to expect. Talk about shifting your identity and having to change clothes real fast, right? Not just your identity, but your hairdo. Okay, I hope you followed all of that. I was swinging wildly round and round, but I really wanted you to think about relationships, how we are related to everything, whether it's your floor, your ceiling, the sounds, the color, one another, and in our nature of relationship has a lot to do with our consciousness. Enough said for now, and let's get going. So close your eyes, and I hope a bunch of you are going to call in because I love it when you do, okay? So close your eyes.
You do have a caller.
Oh, I have a caller already. Goody gumdrops, who are you? Let's talk. Hello?
Hi, Veronica. It's Judy.
Hi, Judy. Do you have a question? I called it Goody Gumdrops, I guess.
Right. Kind of matches my name. Yeah. Actually, I missed the part on the... my phone rang, and I missed the part on the Dharma Queen. When are you running that class?
Oh, we're going to just plan it soon. I'm thinking of a Saturday, but I was hoping people would give us feedback on it. And I'm thinking it'll be like 3 hours with a split partway through. And
great.
I'm hoping that people will call in or write to me, Veronica@VeronicaAntwistle.com, and let me know what it is they would like. Because I know people keep asking me for classes.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I'm definitely interested in any classes that you have coming up. Also, you've been working on relationships, so that would also be a really amazing class to have. You can whip something together.
Do you think we could line up a whole bunch of potential partners there and then put everybody through the work?
Yes, I've got a couple I could put in there. For sure.
But I think it would be a very good idea. So I think the Dharma thing, which is how do you know when you're working against your own search for your true nature and your Dharma, that would be exercises and so on, help people discover more and more of themselves. That's a big job, so 3 hours isn't going to be enough, but that's what we're going to start with, I think. And then relationships would come. And relationships would come along right after it, I think. But that's an ongoing class too, isn't it? But it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
So I would like to start within... I would say 3 weeks. Let's use 3 as the big number.
That's perfect. That'd be a nice way to, for the lazy, you know, summer days that we have coming up. A nice way to spend it.
And it'll be a... Beg your pardon?
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's going to be an online class, a conference call class.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely interested. So tonight you're working on relationships and you're helping with structures, and that's another thing I'm personally interested in being able to learn how to do these structures. I'm not very good with my visual yet. I'm still working on that.
Well, you know something, Judy? I've just found a graphic artist. I was looking for one. Now I've got two names, actually. I have two graphic artists, and I want to get one of them to do a really definite structure drawing. so that it's easier for people to follow the lines. You understand?
Right. See, that would be good for me, or some, I should say someone like me that has a hard time actually visualizing. So if I had that focal tool to start working with, that would be actually very brilliant. That's a good idea.
It is a good idea, isn't it?
Because something like that.
I would like very much to have the structures created in such a way visually that you can really see yourself in them as well. You know, you can look at it and go, I can see myself stepping into it, you know?
So, like a 3D imagery is what you're talking about.
Yeah, that one might take me more than 20 minutes to get it set up because I'm just shopping for my graphic artist. But a name came to me, two names actually today, so we'll get that worked out.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I would like to ask a favor. I had a pretty traumatic breakup with an 18-year-old, listen to me, 18-year relationship.
Yes.
It's been rough, and so if you could throw me on the table and help me with that a little bit, that would be...
I would like to do that. Also, the nature of the relationship breakup. You heard me say that I had five different couples in mind where there was just a sudden departure of one of the people in each case. And yours is like that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this was out of the blue.
And what we'll do is take that kind of situation into the structures. We'll have the one left, and we'll see if we can comprehend what the dharmic value is in that. Would that be nice?
Yes. Yeah, that would be very welcome. It's been roughly 7 months, and, it's rough. I'm not as bad as I was, for sure, but... I guess it's lessening, day by day. It's taking it day by day, too.
But one of the interesting things, Judy, is that you're becoming quite a different person through this. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that is where the Dharma really rises up. So if Prince Charming ever returned... Pardon me?
How does one really identify their Dharma? I mean, I'm definitely a drama queen, so Dharma is a little different for me, though. So.
I think we identify it. Have you ever felt, and this is for everybody at home, have you ever felt like you were kind of split and nobody really knew who was in there? Have you ever felt like that? No, nobody knows who's in here, and ever questioned how you were being in the world? I know a lot of people who do. If you're in your Dharma, you don't question who you are at all, really. It's just you are who you are.
What you're saying is if we're really connected with that, we don't question it. And then so when we start questioning, we know that we're not in the Dharma. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it because it does go in and out, I believe. Like, I don't think people just get, whack, I'm in my Dharma, that's it. I think that we wobble in and out and are often pulled in different directions by different people and different influences and being wooed by success or love or whatever it is we're wooed by. We can be moving off our, if our Dharma is sitting there in a nice little gold pot, we can be pulled this way and that. And actually, I've heard people say, and I've said it myself, I really lost myself in that circumstance, right? Do you see what I mean? So it's quite often, it's those feelings of losing ourselves and feelings of really, like, I really am me. Those are the feelings. And also, very often, your gifts and, the treasures that you have with you start to come out more easily when you're in your light, you're in your Dharma. That makes sense.
It does, and so that sparked another question: is Dharma compartmentalized? I guess is what I want to use. In a way, like we have different personalities. We have our work personality. We have our home personality. We have our friendship personality. We act or behave in different ways with various people. Can dharma also be looked at in that way? Like with my business, I have that persona where I'm all business, I'm getting things done, I'm productive, but then when I knock off, I'm a different person. Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because I don't think it's easy to answer that, because I remember many years ago, I had a wonderful father-in-law, and this was a big subject to him. And he said, you really make peace when you are essentially the same person, no matter who you're relating to. And and I have lots of personality. You have lots of personality, and all our listeners have lots of personality. And we know how to behave this way or that, to titillate or play with someone. But there's a step away from the self that we know when we're not ourself. Do you understand what I mean? You've got all kinds of facets that you can use, but we know when we're out of line with ourselves. Do we not?
Sometimes I'm aware of it. Other times I'm not. Maybe that's because I'm blonde. I haven't figured it out yet.
But when you look back, you can go, I stepped out of myself. My friend Sue likes to say, oh, I stepped out of my personal myth, which is a slightly different way of putting it, but it's a good line, you know.
So, I like that.
But so we'll play with that. We'll get into the Dharma Queen workshop, and we can play with more and more of that. There's a lot of exercises to do for that, isn't there?
Yeah, I would imagine quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited. I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. So thank you for your call, Judy. That was very stimulating.
You
brought a lot of stuff
forward. Thank you for helping me.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for helping me with the structure. Have a good evening tonight.
You too. Thank you. All right, let's go into the structures, you and I and everybody else. Yeah, and we're going to take in some relationship stuff tonight. So the first thing we do is close our eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths for clarity. Now, something hit me just now. I was talking to Bob earlier, and we were saying about consciousness, because he often attributes consciousness, and I think I do too, but not as much as he does, to inanimate objects or seemingly like electronics or this or that. And we just kicked that around for about 2 minutes, but the idea is I'm calling in, and I want you to pay attention to this. First of all, we're calling in through our breath a connection to all that is that's way out there, to dimensions, to everything. And as soon as we start doing that, I can feel my body buzzing and buzzing, and it's real, and there's consciousness in that, isn't there? Right? And above your head, see a golden ball, and below your spine, another golden ball. The upstairs one is way out there, and the lower one is not quite that far. And then you draw a filament of gold light right down from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. And a lot of you can feel that light go through your spine. And then drop a three-sided pyramid, a gold one, from the upper golden ball to about waist height. And then upside down, another three-sided pyramid at waist height. So its point goes into the lower golden ball. And now we've got the two pyramids base to base. Make sure they're up far enough that you can play inside of the structure. Now, to me, it's a perfect reminder that the structures themselves, these pyramids, have a lot of energy. And that is a kind of consciousness, isn't it? It is consciousness. The way lines are shaped sends the vibration in a certain kind of influence. It has a lot to do with creating reality. So it's a pretty powerful consciousness as well. I never thought of it that way till tonight. And then inside of that, we have a crystal ball, and the outside edges of our crystal ball push the inside edges of our double tetrahedron. That's the pointy up top and the pointy down bottom and the diamond shape that they're in. And then this beautiful crystal ball inside of it. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron, which is that radiant light that you and I have all around us, the Merkaba. And when you go inside that, that's your vehicle for changing dimensions. But just see yourself in it and spin and spin and spin and spin. It's your light body. Spin and spin. That's it. And when you do that, you can really feel it, can't you? Now, as you spin and spin, look in front of you. We're creating some beautiful movies on this magical screen in front of us as we spin and spin. And the first movie is all about who you want to become. And that would include your dharma too, wouldn't it? But who is it you want to become? I always want to become consciously multidimensional. Conscious on all levels and all dimensions. And when I see, and you can become whatever it is you want to become. And when I see myself becoming that, I can really feel it in my body, mind. And wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And the second one is you creating a project that you want to create. I have several that I want to create. Yeah, first one is getting that book published, which is a lot of detail right now. And then I have a number of other projects that I want to create. And then see yourself when you've got your projects up there and you know exactly what they are. It could be home and family. It could be world travel. It could be anything you want, a new hairdo. And then I want you to see all of the resources coming, the people, the time, the money, the ideas and inspiration, whatever it's going to take for you to create this project. Oh boy, and you just see it all happening. And when it does, dust your hands together, woohoo, and now see all of the resources flowing to you to maintain your project as long as it wants to be maintained. Yeah, everything has its natural cessation, doesn't it? Yeah. And there you are. And now wrap that in light, move it over to the side. And now we're going into the Galactic Healing Center. And in this center this time, we're going to take some relationship conflicts, okay? Now, Judy called in, and she's one of the ones I was thinking about. There are a number of them that are really rapid changes. You think you're married and living happily ever after, and boom, changes, right? So what happens to the person? So I want to see the individuals. We're going to have a number of tables here. And we're calling in a healing team for each one. So each being, each woman or man who's on the table has a healing team that's going to help them. And now what we're seeing here is because of the, there we are. Okay, because of the pain and the loss, and the iconoclasm and the suffering that all these beings have gone through. Remember? Two people are together, and then when they rip apart, the stuffings come out. And what's the advantage of the stuffing? You get to see what's in there. Okay. So I want each of you who's on the table, there you go, each one of you that's on the table, I want you to see yourself feeling that tremendous loss. And I want you to look inside yourself and say, what am I learning about myself? Who am I? What am I learning about myself because of the loss of my, what would we call it, marital status or my partnership or however you want to define it? What's going on inside of you? What are you seeing in there? Yeah. Are you seeing that you were true to yourself? Was that person true to herself or himself? What are you seeing there? Were there compromises that pulled you right away from who you are? Is there an aching kind of a need for you to present something really creative or some kind of dharmic thing? Somebody, one of you on the table, wants to become either a performer, singer, or something. I can see this like, okay, if that's the way it is, I'm going out there to sing or something like that. All right. And that's got, that person has quite an anger, but anger isn't bad because anger is useful. The only bad thing about anger is if we suppress it, we get resentment. It goes on and on and on, and we get sick and we make everybody else sick, right? You don't want that to happen, but bring your anger up and just let yourself have at it and see if that anger doesn't burn away something inside of you. And your healing teams are working really hard. Several of them are pulling things out of, someone's got a lot of stuff in her stomach. One fellow here has got a tremendous amount in the upper part of the, just under the rib cage, actually, the upper part of the stomach. And somebody else has got a very dark, dark, dark patch in the belly area. I want to say that that's a kind of, that relationship had several levels of its love. One part of it was kind of a, what would we call it? I would call it kind of a karmic thing, And in that case, what is that? Two of you have got, no, yeah, several of you know your own situation, but in that case, the relationship pull apart has served to bring that person closer and closer to the possibility of being in real Dharma. That means a transcended self. A transcended self means someone who's been through something, transformed it, and has gotten the wisdom from it. And you will talk to people who are very enlightened or people who are awakened and so on, and they'll tell you, gee, that was a real jerk way back when, or I was really stupid. I had no idea who I was and what I was. And it took a certain amount of it. I have to say that about me too. It took a certain amount of whacking at me with the 2x4 over the back of the head for me to wake up, and see how I was submerging my true self in order to achieve perhaps the external design, or a like holding on to a marriage that maybe wasn't good, or pretending I was this or that for the sake of my job, but actually deceiving myself, not being any of those things. On and on it goes. Start pulling out of your belly what you thought you were. Let yourself be angry. Let yourself cry and grieve, but pull things out of that belly. Because down in the belly, and down at the, how I see the soul's journey and the true nature, it's down around the perineum, which is that flesh between the penis and the anus, or the vagina and the anus. There's that flesh there. Well, I always see way inside the body that that's where I see the pulsing lights for your soul journey. So if there's a lot going on in the belly, which houses the subconscious, and that holds you away from your Dharma, you could see how that could be really complicated, eh? And if you bond with somebody on that level, you're going to have a, it's possible to transform it, both of you, but you're also going to have a pull that is very, very hard to just sort out in your mind. It's not the pull of, there's big, big pulls with love, isn't there? I want that love and you want that love. But this is not that pull. This is a pull of souls who have incompletions or other life things or whatever you want to, however you want to describe it, because I'm seeing a number of you, yes, it has a lot to do with expectations, a lot to do with belonging, a lot to do with ownership, but it doesn't have so much to do with the coming up of the Dharma or the actual truth of who you are. See what I mean? So let's get in there again, be back in our little soul's journey there, in our structure. There we are. And now we're asking the team to do some more cleansing and pulling. Everybody's buzzing like mad. Good. And we're asking them to do some more cleansing and pulling. They're bringing some really beautiful frequencies in to clear each of your chakras, to start at the top and then go through the neck and go through the chest And remember to get that when the light's coming through from your team, you want to get them to really scour your lungs, which often hold on to grief from other lives. Babies are born with grief. Stomach area is your power center, and then also back to the belly, which houses the subconscious, karma, dharma, blarma, parents, lineage, all that kind of stuff. And now let's go right down into the red chakra. And now once again, we're going to flush that light right through the body. And the guides, your guides, are working very hard to pull things from each of you. They're pulling out huge, somebody's got it. Wow. Huge streams of energy being pulled out of the body. Yeah. And I hope you can feel it. I hope you're going to let me know what that feels like. All right. Now, here's a final thing that I've just started to play with, and I really love it. You know the star tetrahedron, which is your Merkaba? I want to see you, each of you, imagine putting one of those in your belly area and having it spin and spin and spin. And have some, put them under your feet and have them spin and spin and spin. And if you want, put them anywhere in your body to spin them. But I'm saying belly area because right now we've been working on that quite a bit, and under your feet quite a bit. And then anywhere you want to put them in your body, and spin and spin and spin them. It just is amazing how you can feel lifted and lightened and shifted. Okay, there you go. And so here's the healing teams. They're all working really hard right now. Look at that. And now we're just going to flush this room. And we're going to close off that section of the Galactic Healing Center. Good. And there's just one more person I want to bring in, a fresh table, and have a very powerful healing team. And we're going to put our friend who has the 24/7 pain on this little table. That's right. And ask her healing team to work with her. She has a tremendous amount of lineage problem, an awful lot of terrible pain, and it's really affecting her nervous system in a huge way. And I know that it's like a record of so many places she's been. And you and I know that if we all send our prayers in along with these amazing healing beings that are all around us, it can really help her offset that. So you can feel it going round and round and round your body. And now we're going to wrap that in light, move it over to the side. And then I want you all to bring out the political one. You know, we've got a new table here. We're going to have a political thing. All right, here we're going to bring on... I see this election coming up, and there's so much corruption going on. It's just crazy making. But on the other hand, you got a lot of people out there. You got a lot of influences that are becoming more and more conscious all over the world, not just here. So let's just put on the table this whole election thing that's coming up next year and see if we can't get the beings of light on any dimension, all dimensions, to simply draw down this incredible light and just beam it right up through the perineums of anyone involved in the election, in the campaigns, in the lobbyists, the people that are buying the votes and buying our minds and all. Don't get me started. I feel like making fun of it all. Comedy. We all need more comedy so we can see it and not get so depressed. So let's just build that light right up through the perineums of as many people as you can imagine that have anything to do with the up-and-coming election or power on the planet, if you want. But I was sticking to the election to give us a focus. Good. There we are. Now wrap that in light. And move it over to the side. And now we're going to reach up with our mind as a sculpting tool, reach way out into the great central sun, and draw down from there these amazingly bright, these are kind of orangey, sherbety, orangey lights that come in through the top of the head. And you have moving down through the top of your head, whirling round and round in your head, in your neck, down in your heart, going back up into the shoulders, down your arms, out into your fingers until they tingle. And I want you to reach out with those beautiful, radiant hands of yours and start patting the whole world, wherever there's illness, disease, awful war, all of that stuff. Pat the whole planet. I want you to pat where we've been destroying natural habitats, where the global warming has gotten out of control. We can do a lot. We can do a lot. We are such powerful beings. We just don't know how to reach that place. And I'm saying this is part of it. Let yourself look at your beliefs and release those, and let's bring this light in and move it round and round and round the planet and brighten things up around and round and round the planet. I wonder if many of us had that attitude. We could fill that area that was so destroyed by BP and all that, the shenanigans of the oil. And they're actually drilling there again. We could do something with our minds and hearts and intentions and really make a difference. That's just an example. And have your light go round and round and round the planet, round and round and round your planet. And then have it come back up your hands, up your arms, swing round and round in your heart, move through your shoulders, up your neck, straight up through your head, way out into the great central sun. Yay! And now drop back and fill your body, and you turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center and close it off and jump into your star tetrahedron. That's right, and spin and spin and spin. Now you got a few minutes to call in. Is there anybody going to call? Come on, you guys. This is supposed to be an interaction. So one of the things I'm seeing here is there's a couple where she's sick. And he's mad about it because he's tired of her being sick. And it's really, really hard. Now, what if the Dharma is, her sickness is a way for her to become transcendent. Her sickness is a way for her to become realized. Now, most of us don't think like that. I mean, it's really hard to look at yourself when you're suffering and going, oh, good, this is the route to my self-realization. No, we usually go, I want to get over this. This is not fun, right? And so I'm seeing this partner being, it's not only one, I see a number of you out there, and they're not all women versus men or anything. This is a interchangeable. What I'm seeing is that the people who are serving are having a horrible time deep in themselves, because maybe their dharma would be for serving. I don't know. But what happens is you don't get to, let me see, somebody's got an awful stomachache because of it. You don't get to your dharma by being resistant and resentful. If you're having to serve, you got to find a way to absolutely love the circumstance or find out what it is that you need to be doing so you can find a way of offsetting that demand. Because when we stay in a position of resentment or resistance, what happens? You just block yourself and you block the other person. So instead of it being loving, it becomes, in fact, probably, well, I don't know, let me see. Probably if you're in a position of having to serve someone who's really ill for a long period of time, it is part of your dharma, if not the whole thing, right? But if you're resisting it whilst you're doing it, you don't get to the dharma, do you? So that's a kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? Is that a horrible thought? How many of you love going to work? How many of you really love what you're doing for a job? How many of you feel like, oh my God, if I do this long enough, I'll get to retire and then I'll get to do what I want to do? And what is it you want to do? Is there any way to do it now? Let's take a look at that. And I see a couple of you people not wanting to take a chance. Let me see here. Well, it's really hard for me to say, add to group call. I don't know if I can do this, if I'm going to lose everybody. Yeah, I don't know. I was afraid to take it. Sorry. Okay, so what I was saying is that you could block your dharma by a whole bunch of things, and one of the ways of doing it is in the circumstances in which you find yourself. You could be drawn into them, to the circumstances in which you find yourself, by it being a part of your dharma, be part of your soul journey, part of your destiny, right? But if you resist it the whole time, then what happens is you don't really get the advantage of it, do you? And the other thing is, if you read things like the Bhagavad Gita and these other ancient texts, what they all say is the major thing about life is, no matter what the circumstances are, if you can learn, you're going to be very, very successful if you can learn to absolutely love your life in the middle of those circumstances. Now, I wouldn't have called that dharma, but maybe it is. Do you think you can do that? Okay, so now I see, let me see here. All right, so now I see people wanting, okay, something else I was going to talk about a lot is relationship to illnesses, but I think that's too big a subject. I think we'll talk about that another time, because maybe next week, and I'll talk a little bit more about Dharma Queen. I'd really like to have a bunch of you let me know what you'd like to learn, and I would love to do a class, that class, all about how we use our meditation, how we use energy, how we assess or access what's really our dharma, or what it is we want to do in the middle. Remember, we talked about how hard it is to be quiet and to tap your innermost self in the middle of a crazy fast world. But there are ways of doing those things. And if we could get close to who we really are in these classes, that would be wonderful. And how we could take pieces of our drama and help ourselves chip away to see what the actual truth of who we are underneath it. Bottom line is, we don't get out of this alive, and bottom line is, what we take with us is what of our real selves we found. I've just seen that over and over again, and I see a lot of beings on the other side, and they're saying that as well. So I'll end with this old meditation that I used to do a lot, which is, I guess we don't have to quite end up yet. One of the old meditations we used to do, which was kind of fun and a little bit cheeky, was, here I am talking to you. And if you and I if you and I died and we're drinking tea on the clouds, so you and I are sitting there with our pretty little china teacups, sitting together on the clouds, looking down, I say to you, well, did you get what you came for in this life? You'll be able to answer it like that. Yes or no? So if you say no, I'll say, who did you give it to? You'll be able to answer that really fast as well. And then the next question is, did he or she know what you'd given them? And usually the answer is, guess what? No idea. So when you find yourself doing something because you want to please other people, or if you find yourself subduing some of your own zest for, writing, performing, starting a business, doing world travel or something for the sake of another person because they might not approve, guess what? Very often they have no idea what you've relinquished to them. Isn't that interesting? I think that's just a fun meditation. Let's see now. I'm going to see somebody else out there. Okay, so there's a woman I'm seeing out there who's a wonderful, wonderful woman. She has a lot of meditation background. But one of the biggest problems that she has right now is she needs to take action into the world. She needs to find some harmony between making a living and tapping her own. Now, this is back to this other part that we were talking about earlier, isn't it? But my friend here needs to make a living in her own dharma, if you will. She has to find a way to make. But the biggest problem that she's got is second-guessing herself. So she's not resistant as much as she's jumping back and forth, asking herself questions and acting very indecisive about what steps to take. But it seems to me that if Dharma is coming to you, if you're, you know what synchronicities are. Synchronicities build up in speed. They show up all over the place if you're in tune with or on track with where it is you need to be going, if you're letting yourself be led by the universe. And the more in sync you are with that, the more the synchronicities happen. So my friend is jumping back and forth and back and forth so that the actual synchronicities that would lead her into her Dharma path are not as easy for her to hear, see, feel, smell, because they come through in all your senses. Messages from the universe come through in all senses. They don't just come through in sound or all of that. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, hey, you guys, write to me, veronicaentwistle.com. Hit the Ask Veronica button or do veronica@veronicaentwistle.com and tell me what's up with you. What kind of classes would you like to join us for? And do you want a session? And if you have any guest suggestions for paradigm shifters, I'd love that. And I hope some of you, I know a lot of you are actually listening to podcasts and so on that are on my site. So ideas, feedback, and everything, and love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. I appreciate your call, Judy, and appreciate the rest of you for listening. Good night and much love, and thanks to our wonderful guides and angels for always showing up in the structures. Lots of love, many blessings.